Welcome to MPT Podcast. This is Pastor Tim Wilbanks. We pray that this Word of God will bless your life and ministry and increase God's blessing upon you. Amen. Matthew chapter 28, quickly getting the Word. It's so good to see you in the house of the Lord. Amen, amen, amen. Real quickly, Matthew 28. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven, came and rolled back the stone from the door, and he sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake. They did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, "Fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He's not here." I said, "He's not here, for he is risen." And he said, "Come and see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell the disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you in Galilee. There and shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you." I've been to Israel twice, and they went to the place of called the place of the skull where they hung Jesus, and went to his sepulcher. And they say it's the same sepulcher. I walked in it, sat down where the body supposedly laid. My mind went over to Matthew 28, and I read it from my Bible. He still ain't there. I said, he still ain't there. Aren't you glad he rose for me and you today? Aren't you glad? I'm so thankful. God, I'm thankful. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this wonderful day of celebration. God, all these family members that God took time to get ready, Lord, and they have a busy life. Thank you, Lord, for these moms, dads, children, grandmothers, grandfathers, and all family members come together to celebrate this special day. They're here because they think it's important. Father, I'm asking you to give them faith today through your holy word and give them encouragement in their life. In Jesus' name we pray. And if you're going to help him, shout amen. Amen. Give him a praise one more time. You can be seated. The resurrection is the greatest event in mankind's history. Without the resurrection, there would be no hope in this life. It gives hope to all who faces adversities, battles, and even challenges of life today. That seems like that all the hope is gone today. 1 Peter 2 and 4:21 says, "Because Christ also suffered for me and you, for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps." You can look at the tomb and it be an example for your life today. Where death had his hand on Christ, and the tomb was the place that darkness had him, and the word that held Jesus as a prisoner, the tomb did. The stone was a symbol that there's no way out. I've shut the door. You cannot get out of this place. You see, that is the place that the devil himself desires to place everyone here today in the world, that they can't attain, they cannot obtain anything to get them out of the tomb. Where darkness rules the spirit, the stone shuts the way out. There's no way out. There's no way to get out of this place I'm in this life right now. You feel like life, afflictions, adversity has got you in a place that you cannot even move. It seems like your destiny is to die right where you are. But aren't you thankful for the resurrection? Aren't you thankful? No matter what has you, no matter where you are, no matter what you're facing, no matter what has hold of you, you can come out of it. No matter where you are, I'm telling you, no matter the life situation, there is a way out. There is a door out. There can be a change. The resurrection did happen for me and you. Looking at the resurrection, you've got to look at it. It gives us faith and hope for our lives that Satan, he does not want you to see, to have faith today. He don't want you to have hope. You got to look, preacher, where my life is. I don't care where your life is, how bad it's gotten. Doesn't matter what kind of condition it's in. I'm telling you, today we celebrate a day that gives us faith and it gives us hope that Jesus Christ can get you out of every place you're in. If you believe it today, give him some praise. Is anybody been in a place of darkness? Is anybody been in a place trapped? Is anybody been in a bad place? And somehow Jesus made a way out. You know that the resurrection happened. You know that he rose from the grave. Hallelujah. Oh. Matthew 28. I read 11 through 13, it says this: those that were at the watch over the tomb came into the city, and they ran to the chief priest and all, and they, the chief, and they told all the things that were done. They assembled together and took counsel what to do. They gave and took up a large amount of money to the soldiers, to give to the soldiers. And say, here, we're going to pay you to say this. And you tell everyone that Jesus' disciples came and took him from the grave. He didn't rise from the grave, but they came and they took him from the grave. You see, that's the plot of Satan himself. He wants you to believe that the resurrection didn't happen. He wants you to believe that you can get in a place mentally, spiritually, physically in life that Jesus cannot get you out. He's going to make you believe that there's no way to see a different life. But I'm here to tell you, he wants to try to make you to believe that all hope is gone. But I'm so thankful there was a resurrection. It was for an example for me and you today. I'm here to tell you, if you've ever had a resurrection, you are a witness that I don't care where your life is, Jesus can bring you out. My God, has anybody had a resurrection? Has anybody had a turnaround? Has anybody had Jesus to lead you out of a dark hole? Has anybody had Jesus to break you out of a bad place? Holy Ghost, because it's the proof how powerful the very Spirit of God is, how it can bring a life that's been dead in sin and held in sin, bound by chains of failure and affliction. Oh, that's the Spirit. The Spirit that was in Christ can abide in you. Can you give? Can you give? Can he give you a resurrection out of the tomb? Yes, he can. From being falsely accused, beaten, spit on, made fun of, persecuted, tied to a whipping post, and given 39 stripes, tore the flesh from his body, beat him like an animal, nailed him to an old rugged cross. He didn't fight. He didn't resist. He laid his life down willingly for you and for me. While they drove 3 old nails, one in his feet, one in each hand, he laid there. He was God manifested in the flesh. He could have called 10,000 angels down to deliver him from that pain and persecution. But he knew the will of God. He knew he had to suffer to give me and you hope when it seems like all hell's broken loose. It seems like the devil is winning in our life. It seems like he's beating us. Jesus did it all for an example. I'm here to tell you today, he loved me and you enough that he said, I'll lay myself down for that woman that's made a mess of her life. That man, I loved him, and I'll help them get a way out. I'll help them change their life. Come on, somebody. That devil can't have your house. That devil can't have your marriage. That devil can't have your home. You know why? Because there was a resurrection, and there's a God that's for you. From being persecuted, put in a grave to rot. It's all for an example for me and you. Isaiah 53:5, one of my favorite verses. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of peace was upon him, and with his stripes we're healed. He took it all for me and you. Before you knew him, he knew you. I'm telling you why I serve him. When all the world desires to see me fall and see me give up, I got a God that said, I went through it all for you, son. You hang on. Don't you quit. Don't you give up. When they spit on you, when they beat you, when they falsely accuse you, when they get you down, he said, don't you give up. He said, I gave you a resurrection. I gave you my spirit that through Christ I can do all things. Somebody praise him. You see, he, at that moment, after it all, Satan desired for the world to believe that Jesus did not have what it took to come out of the grave. He wanted the world to believe he's gone. There ain't no hope. We've defeated Jesus. Look at him. We beat him. We put 39 stripes on his back. We falsely accused him, and he couldn't do nothing. Oh, they thought, look, we nailed him to a cross. If it had been so strong, why didn't he come down? But it all was a setup. I said, it all was a setup for me and you. You sat there and said, I don't know if I can live for him. Let me tell you something. I owe him more than I've ever gave him. I said, I owe him more than I've ever gave him. I don't know about you, but I feel like he's been better to me than anybody. Has anybody made so many mistakes? You think, oh my God, how can you forgive me again? Come on, his mercy, his grace has been good to me and you. Aren't you thankful for his mercy and his grace? Oh God. He said he wanted the world to believe that. Hear me. As the world saw the persecution, how the persecution had control on Jesus' life. Satan didn't see that it all was the will of God. Now follow this. In 1 Peter 5:10, I got to read you this. The end of the day, listen, hear me somebody. But the God of all grace, who had called us unto the eternal glory of Christ Jesus, after that he had suffered a while, make you perfect, established, strengthen and settle you. All that makes you perfect establishes you, sets you up in a place that you have authority, and he will strengthen you. All that hell has thrown at your life looks as though it's no way to get out of this, but it was a setup for God to show you what he can do for your life. Oh, come on. It's a setup. It's a setup. Look at me. Look at what I've been through. Look at my failure. Look at my loss. Look at my mess up. I don't care. I'm here to tell you, Jesus said it was a setup to bring you out of that, to show the world that I can anoint you, that I can bring you out. When hell thinks I beat them, Jesus said, there's a resurrection. I said, Jesus said, there's a resurrection. Come on, somebody. You can have your life back. Woo! Trying to hold myself. Without failures, you can't rise. While in the grave, the stone that held the doorway shut, Jesus, you know what was happening? When he was in the tomb, the stone shut the grave. Y'all know what he was doing? It wasn't over. He was busy. Revelation 1:19. When Jesus, they put him in the tomb, he walked down into hell. He said, give me, boy. Give me them keys. He said, write, told John on the Isle of Patmos. He said, write these things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which are the hereafter. But he said also, he said, I hold the keys of hell and death. While hell thought he was being defeated, while hell thought that it was over with, Jesus was being busy. He walked down the throne room of hell, snatched the keys of death and hell away from Satan himself. Can I tell you, you may be down in the pit right now. Your life may be messed up right now, but Jesus is busy getting you a way out. You come on. Somebody ought to shout to your devil, you don't have authority over my life. You ought to shout to your problem, you don't have authority over my life. You ought to shout to your affliction, you don't have authority over my life. Jesus is being busy. Somebody shout, I'm coming out. Somebody shout, I'm coming out. It ain't going to hold you. It ain't over. You're coming out. You understand, while you in your mass in the tomb, that's where you're getting your greatest anointing. You don't see it like, but I do, that's the word. At that moment, Satan thought, we got him right where I need him. Have you ever heard that from hell? Some of you are innocent with me. You're truthful. Anybody been there? It's over with. And Jesus is going, no, I got them right where I want them. You know what's going to happen to your life? When you come back, you're going to have a testimony of a resurrection. You're going to be able to sit down at a table across from some mayor, some other couple going through hell and say, hold on, I know where you're at. I've been there before, but let me tell you what he's doing right now. He's anointing you to come out and to overcome what you're facing. And one day, you're going to be able to deliver others from what you're facing today. It ain't over, baby. I said, it ain't over today, saint of God, child of friend, it ain't over today. He's making a resurrection in your life. I know you don't feel like it. I know you don't see it, but I'm here to tell you, our Jesus is making a way out. And I hate to say this, but you've got to go into the tomb before you experience a resurrection. It's in the tomb of your life that Jesus reveals his power to you. When all hell is celebrating, he's defeated. They're defeated. It's over. That home's over. That life's over. Oh, they're having a party. Oh, they're tooting their horn. Heck, their caps on. They got cakes and, oh, they got candles and everything. Oh, they're partying. It's over. Get ready for a resurrection. Jonah rebelled against God. God said, Jonah, go to Nineveh and preach that wicked city. He said, they don't deserve mercy, God. I ain't going to Nineveh. Bible said he goes down to Joppa, buys him ticket to go to Tarsus, which is 2,500 miles from there. Jonah goes down, gets on the ship. And on the ship, God, hear me, sends a storm. God sends a storm. Jonah finds himself in a problem that he made himself. He finds him in a problem that he made himself. The Bible said later on they cast lots. That's rolling kind of a dice to find out who was causing the storm, and the lot fell on Jonah. They cast Jonah overboard. He's in the water. God made a fish. Caught Jonah, swallowed him. You say, you may be today, you may have caused a problem that's taken your life because you would not do what God asked you to do. Maybe you're in a place. Is there a way back? Yes. Now get this. It ain't fun being out of the will of God. Jonah's in the belly of a fish. He's sitting in a bunch of stomach puke. Other fishes, half rotten, is in the juice of the belly of that fish, which eats up what he swallows. The smell of that place is not good. Flesh floating around him. The smell of puke, nasty, is floating around Jonah. He's thinking, man, I'm going to die here. My destiny is to let the body fluid of this fish eat me alive. It's going to eat me alive. But you got to understand, it's a dark place. He gets in the fish's belly. It's a dark place and there's no way out. The door is shut. Does that sound familiar? I'm sure Satan is filling his head. You ain't coming out. You're going to die here, boy. You rebelled against God. You deserve to die here because you rebel. If that's so, we'd all be lost. Because we all mess up. We all fall. Even those who are still in church make a mistake still. The righteous fall seven times but shall arise. Thank God that he's rich in mercy. Because if he didn't have a lot of mercy, me and you wouldn't be here today. Every day I'm living on God's mercy. What about you? What about his grace? What about his mercy today? You ought to thank him for the mercy he gave you yesterday. I'm thankful for the mercy he gave me yesterday. How many feel like your life would have been gone if it wasn't for his mercy? If it wasn't for his grace, you wouldn't be here right now. You wouldn't have. Come on. I said all the time here in my accident in 2020, at that time when I was going through it, I wasn't scared because I didn't really know what I was facing. Never been through nothing like that. But after surgery, and my surgeon told my wife, said he had multiple blood clots there on his pelvic. You know what could have happened? One could have broke loose, hit my heart, I'd been dead. And after that, it woke me up. And I lifted my hands in the hospital bed, weeping. And I said, thank you, God, for your mercy. Because if it wasn't for your mercy, one of those blood clots could have broke loose. And I could have died here without my family. Come on. Come on. You experienced mercy somewhere in the last few days. He saved you from that car coming across that line. He saved you from a bad report. He saved you. Come on. You may have tried to fall down, but something grabbed a hold. Come on. The Spirit came in and wanted to take your life. But mercy came in and said, no, you're not going to get them today because God's not ready for it. It ain't over. They're not finished today. Thank God for His mercy. Your life ain't over because of it. He's got something for you. He loves every soul. You understand He died for the whole world? He said, you're finished, Jonah. Jonah needed a resurrection to come out of the tomb to give his life back. Hear me now. What looked impossible in Luke 1 and 37. For with God, there's nothing impossible. Romans 8 and 11 says, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead can dwell in you. Jesus went to the cross, the grave, to provide His Spirit to those who seek after it. Through the death, burial, and resurrection, through the gospel is preached. The gospel is baptism, repentance, and the filling of the Holy Ghost. That's the new birth. That's repentance. God, forgive me of sins. I'm sorry I've sinned. God, I'm sorry. That's death. You die away from the things of the flesh. Then you're buried in His wonderful name of Jesus in baptism. Then He promises to fill you with the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's the Spirit you need in your life. You see, through His Spirit, the power of His Spirit will strengthen you to come out of anything you ever face. Affliction, adversity, battles, and circumstances. Paul said it. He said, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. When you got God, you got everything. I said, when you got Jesus, you got everything. Come on. I said, when you got Jesus, you got everything. The same Spirit that dwelt in Christ raised Christ from the dead, that brought Him out of the tomb. That's the Spirit I'm talking about. You can have that Spirit in you through the new birth. I can do all things. I can. Somebody shout, I can do all things. Jonah 2, put up Jonah 2, 1 and 2. Sister Wings, come. Listen to this. Listen, please listen to this. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord, his God, out of the fish's belly. Who caused the problem? Jonah did. I said, Jonah caused the problem. I said, Jonah caused his own problem. And he said, I cried by the reason of my affliction unto the Lord. And He heard me. One thing, the enemy don't want you to believe that God will hear you. Look at what I've done. I don't care what you've done. Not being rude, but just said it doesn't matter. I don't care what you've done. And I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord. And He heard me. Somebody shout, He heard me. You know why He hears you? Because He desires that every soul in this room have a resurrection. All the sin, all the chains that hold you, that tell you you can't change, that's a lie from hell itself. That's a lie from Lucifer. Quit listening to him. There can be a resurrection in your life. He cried out of the belly of hell. Cried I, and thou hearest my voice. Verse 10. Somebody shout, He'll hear me. He'll hear you. And the Lord spake. Now follow me. And the Lord spake to the fish, and it vomited Jonah up on dry land, put him right where he needed to be. When Jonah repented, God spoke to the fish and it released him. Now listen, when you repent, the tomb has to let you go. It has to make a way out. When you repent, the stone has to move. The man of Galilee, follow me, Jesus. Some said, I got a devil in me. No, you ain't got a devil. You got human flesh. Your biggest battle ain't the devil. That's the devil done been whooped. Jesus whipped him right here. He don't have. Don't quit blaming the devil. It ain't the devil. Jesus whipped him right there. Your biggest battle is your human will. The man in the tomb had a legion of demons in him. Naked, filthy, dirty. Bible said at night he run from tomb to tomb, crazy, cutting himself, marking himself up. Marking himself. Lived in tomb, living in the graveyard. But one day Jesus come across the Sea of Galilee, stepped out on the shore. And that old man, that old dirty old demon-possessed dude, looked out of the tomb, and he saw Jesus. Some said, well, I want to clean my life up before I come to church. That ain't even biblical. That ain't even Bible. The man didn't say, hold on, Jesus, let me get these demons out before I come to you. He didn't say, let me put some clothes on and take a bath, put some clothes on before I come to you. No, he didn't. This man, when he saw Jesus, he took off running. Naked, filthy, demon-possessed. Do you not even think those 2,000 demons tried to talk him out of it? I guarantee you those demons begin to whisper in his mind, you'll never be free from us. I don't care how much you go to church. I don't care how much you worship, you pray, you'll never. He tells us all that, don't he? Even after you get in church, he'll say, look at you. You still want some of this stuff. Well, you stupid, ignorant, toothless, sorry joker, from you backslid from heaven. When I'm riding that horse back behind you, I'm going to kick the teeth out of you. Don't you understand, Satan? I don't think you do. As long as I live in this flesh, my flesh is going to have worldly desires. My flesh is going to hunger because I live in a world of the flesh. But I got the Holy Ghost, which helps me fight it. Get this. This is what is amazing. This is what amazing. The dude runs to Jesus, falls down with demons, naked, dirty, filthy. Jesus didn't go, ho, 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 you're too dirty, don't come to me. He let the man come to him. He fell down and worshiped Jesus. Jesus cast the demons out into the swine. The Bible said a few verses down that the man was clothed, put in his right mind, and went home. Yeah. There's stories sitting in this room right now. I don't want to bring up no past on the blood. They kind of resemble the man in the tomb. They come from places you have said, there's no hope, Brother Patterson. I'm not bringing up his story, but you think you've been at the heart. He's, to me in this room, he's been at the worst place anybody's been. When hope said it was gone, his mama said, I ain't giving up hope. Destined to die in a tomb. Ain't nobody been where he's been. Nobody in this room. Mama said, I ain't giving up hope. She kept praying, kept praying, kept praying, kept praying, kept praying. And God gave him a resurrection. I got to tell it for just a little bit. Divorced for several years, separated. How many years? 28 years. Is in prison, destined to die. I got to tell, I feel it. Backslid Pentecostal preacher. Hell said, I got him. Hell said, he's going to die here. Hell said, you ain't coming out. But he had a mama that walked before the throne every day and said, God, give my boy a resurrection. Give my boy a resurrection. One day, it was a miracle, was it not?
On the day that I was convicted, there were some pencils on the desk in front of me, sharp pencils. And I said, this is it. I wanted to take one of those pencils and just stick it on the desk and just slam my head down on it and let it go through my brain. But I didn't do it. That's how I felt. And the conviction was guilty. Life without parole. Life in prison without any possibility of parole. And the law enforcement officers, that they rejoiced. And I'm not knocking law enforcement. I'm just saying, these were some dirty guys because they lied to get the conviction that they got. But they thought it was over, Brother Wilbanks.
Yes, they did.
They rejoiced and they made comments and statements.
Yep.
But my mother
Tell it.
Stood up in that courtroom and she said, my son will not die in prison. He will come out.
Yes,
she said that.
Yes, she did.
12 years later, on June the 2nd of 2002, I walked out.
Long story short, life had its course. Sister Patterson was married to Brother Jackson. He came here, passed away, went on. She said, hey, won't you pray? God's going to reunite my family. 7 years ago, I got to remarry him. Two warriors that I'm thankful I got as I'm their pastor. Them two right there. You see, when hell says it's over, when the tomb says I got you, when it declares you're going to die in here, when life's gone, I can't have my family back. There's a witness. There is a resurrection. There is a resurrection. Let's stand to our feet. Thank you so kindly. If you don't mind, if you can, just bow your heads. I'm not embarrassing nobody. I'm not going to ask you to do nothing. I just want you to talk to Jesus and say, hey, Lord, You may need a resurrection. You may need something. I want you to talk to him. The man that came out of the tomb represents repentance. When you repent, the tomb has to release you. So don't forget this message today. You can't have a resurrection. Jonah had one, and the man of Galilee had one. Jesus did it all for me and you. Aren't you glad and thankful there was a resurrection? Somebody praise him for it. We pray today that this word has blessed you, ministered to the needs of your life. Until next time, God bless you.